You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Oh, O'Connell's mistake. McGinn. Green!
Pots isolated. Lonnie goes for goal. And what a goal!
Whitbread with a header. Alexander tries an instinctive volley. Oh, what a goal that is! That is one of the greatest goals you will ever see at Wembley from Gary Alexander to put Millwall level. And just look.
Hello, I'm Ben Turner and welcome back to the EFL Preview Show. This week, joining me to look ahead to the action in the Sky Bet Championship is former Leeds United and Barnsley manager Paul Heckingbottom. Meanwhile, in Sky Bet Leagues 1 and 2, former Rochdale and Tranmere star Joe Thompson joins us again, looking ahead to our featured games.
Here's Woodrow. He's got men in the box. Should he choose to use him, he might go all the way. He has gone all the way.
And in the Championship, attention switches to the battle to stay up.
Well, how often is this the case? A man comes back to play against his former team and he haunts them.
In towards Berry, missed by him, not by Tony Cliff. Luton Town lead on Teesside.
Yes, Barnsley take on Middlesbrough and Luton face Charlton in two crucial six-pointers. We'll also discuss the promotion battle as Brentford take on Dark Horses Blackburn. In Sky Bet League 1, two of the division's informed sides come head-to-head as Fleetwood face Portsmouth. And in Sky Bet League 2, after their match against Scunthorpe was called off last weekend, league leaders Swindon take on Ian Holloway's Grimsby. But first, where else to start than the drama of the Leasing.com Trophy semi-finals? Both Portsmouth and Salford through to the final at Wembley. Here's both managers' reaction to getting through, starting with Kenny Jackett.
Congratulations to the players. You know, they played well, I thought, today. It was a hard game. Exeter made it very difficult for us in the second half. I thought we were on top. I didn't know where the breakthrough was coming, although we had chances and were on top. Their role was a threat. They defended very well. And we had to really persevere and work hard because, on many occasions and through many times, it didn't look like it was going to be our night. And players found a way in the end, and great atmosphere in the ground.
For me, if a penalty goes over the line, it's a good penalty. And that's so, you know, we took, six good penalties today? I don't know what the score was, 6-5 in the end, was it? But for me as well, Runes, I thought, set the standard. I had his name straight down, so he was always going to take one. That's why we brought him on at a stage. But, you know, I asked him what number he wanted to go to, because I know he missed the first one in the semi-final. He said he'd take the first one. So that was enough for me. That for me showed the courage to go up there, do that, because all his teammates know, you know, what happened last year. And I thought that gave the rest of the boys confidence to go up and do what they did. We've got one more game to achieve what we want to do in this competition, and but we're delighted to give the supporters and the players, you know, the opportunity to go and show what we can do at Wembley again.
So Paul now joins us. Welcome to the show, first of all. We'll get into the Sky Bet Championship matches shortly, but I just wanted to get your reaction to the Leasing.com Trophy semi-finals, first of all. You won the competition with Barnsley, of course. Just describe what that feeling was like and how much Portsmouth and Salford have got to look forward to now.
Yeah, it's going to be a big occasion for not just the players and the staff, but the fans and everyone as well. It's a big cup competition for League One and League Two. Whilst the FA Cup and League Cup might give you opportunities to play Premier League teams and, you know, have big days out, realistically, to win a trophy, this is a great opportunity. So this, along with a playoff final, for example, might be the only chance you've got to get to Wembley and play at Wembley. So really, really big occasion. And I think, you know, significantly for Salford in their recent rise and their recent history, if you like, it's going to be an even bigger day.
You went on to win again at Wembley as well that season. You won the EFL Trophy and win promotion from Sky Bet League One. How much confidence did winning the trophy give your side in the rest of that league campaign?
Yeah, looking back afterwards, it was a really, really important day. I mean, it was the first ever Wembley win in the club's history, you know, so it was a big day on its own. But then to be chasing the playoffs down and then to get to the final, to have that recent success in the back of everyone's mind and to know you can do it, it was really familiar. You know, you're talking less than 2 months apart. So really, really familiar, and any good experiences you've got to draw on can only help. And, you know, I think we started slow in the Johnson's Paint final as it was then, and we're better in the second half. But then against Millwall in the playoffs, there were no nerves, there was no apprehension, nothing. And from the first minute, really, we were excellent.
And I suppose, like Portsmouth as well, you know, going up against a League Two team, you were the favourites going in to that match against Oxford. What was that something you and, you know, the rest of the team had to be a bit wary of as well, going up against an underdog?
Yeah, but we also knew how good Oxford were. So whilst we were a league above, I think we were chasing the playoffs then. We'd been on really good form, which had seen us rise up the table and probably made us favourites. But Oxford were in just as good a form in their league. So we knew it was going to be a tough team to play against. And we didn't really speak about being favourites, didn't really approach it in that way. We just wanted to win the game. And, you know, we were slow starting. We were behind. It was an even first half, but we were behind. And then second half, again, we were excellent. And I think the players, again, took a lot of belief from that win, as we've just spoke about. And, you know, they earned the right to win that game against a good side. And then use that the second time we're at Wembley.
Well, let's hope for another exciting game like that. Well, now let's move on to the Championship preview, though. And the first match we're going to look at is Brentford against Blackburn. Let's talk Brentford first of all. They had the chance to break into that top two a few games ago against your former side Leeds. Two draws since then, and suddenly there's another 4-point gap. Do you think their lack of experience of being in a promotion battle like this could affect them a little bit?
It could, but they're a team that plays with no fear, you know, that they've always wanted that mentality when Dean was there, that no fear mentality. So with that youth and that, there's no scar tissue, if you like, there's no experience to fail. It's just go out there and do your best. So it does suit how they play, having that inexperience of these situations. But as you get closer and closer to the line, whether it's trying to nail that playoff position, whether it's a playoff game, whether it's chasing the top two, experience can be vital then, whether it's in your coaching staff, whether it's in your players, you know, just having that know-how, being there before can prove vital. So yeah, well, I expect them to be up there through that no fear attitude, but as it gets closer and closer to the wire, yeah, it will become more and more difficult, and it just simply because it's a new situation and everyone's eyes will be on them.
Yeah, and they have captain Pontus Janssen out for those two games as well, someone you've worked with, of course. How much of a miss will he have been for them?
Well, I think it'll have been harder for Pontus, you know, knowing how he is and he wants to play, and he certainly didn't see it as a step backwards, you know, moving from Leeds, the size of Leeds as a football club. But, you know, he believed that Brentford had a chance to get promoted and be challenging, and he's been proved right. But whilst he's been out, and he will be a miss, they've had other players can step in. Ethan Pinnock, another player I know well, you know, getting his first goal for the club. So they've got a good squad. They recruit well, try and get good competition in key positions on the pitch, and they've got that. So, yeah, when they've had key players who've had to step out, they've had players who can come in and just fill the gaps just as well.
Yeah, and still so many threats in attack as well, including, you know, the likes of Benrahma and Ollie Watkins. On their day, would you say they're one of the best attacking sides in the league?
Yes, yeah, I would. And I think, again, the way the play tries to bring the best out of those players, give them the freedom to play, give them the freedom to go and express themselves and score goals. It really is designed and set up around creating chances and getting players in goal-scoring positions. So if you're an attacking player, I think they'd be a good team to play for. And as I say, when they've got that talent and that goal return in the front three as it is at the minute, then they've got a hell of a chance to be up there.
Blackburn are a side that nobody seems to have been talking about, but they're just 3 points off the playoffs. Could this match determine whether or not they are the real deal?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think, like you say, until if you talk about 3 points off the playoffs, they're in there, they're in the mix. And the nature of the Championship means they're right in the mix because people will take points off each other. But I think they've still got to prove that. And I think beating a team like Brentford, especially at Brentford, where they're really strong, would be a real statement of intent. They've had a couple of sort of runs where they've gone really well, Blackburn, and then been really slow for a while and not picked up points, and they've been good of late, and which has seen them rise the table again. So, as I say, it's a big game for them because they'd certainly take a hell of a lot of belief from it if they could get a result down there. Mm. And then people would have to start taking notice because there's so many teams in the mix that a win for Blackburn would put them right amongst it.
Yeah, Stuart Downing as well, rolling back the years recently for them. How important is it that he stepped up after the injury to Bradley Dack, of course?
Yeah, really important. He's played a few positions for them. He's got the quality, we know that, but he's also kept fit really, really well and looked after himself. And I saw him play a few weeks ago against Preston, and you know, he certainly wouldn't look the oldest player on the pitch. He carries himself really well. We know he's got the quality, and they've been looking to people to step up and fill those shoes of Bradley Dack, because he's a creative spark for them and also scored goals. But Stuart's been in there creating. Adam Armstrong and the like have been scoring the goals. So I think that's why they seem to have got that balance back now. They've come to terms with Bradley being missing and they've started picking up results again.
And we talked about Brentford's maybe lack of experience in this sort of position, but one man who doesn't lack experience is Tony Mowbray, a manager who's experience of winning promotion at this level and for Blackburn. How vital could that be for them?
Yeah, huge. He's been there, seen it, done it. He's experienced himself. He's got experienced staff. And if there is any nerves, if they get themselves right in the mix, he'll play his part in keeping people calm and making sure that people are in the best possible state to perform. As I said, we spoke about experiencing players before with the Brentford boys being up there. Just as important is the experience of the manager or his immediate staff, you know, being able to deal with those situations, doing the right thing at the right time and keeping calm. So if they are in the mix at the end, then Tony will be a big plus in those situations.
And let's move on to the other end of the table now, though. And firstly, a huge match between your former side, Barnsley, and Middlesbrough. How much was that win at Fulham last week needed to keep Barnsley's hopes of staying up alive?
Yeah, I think it was. I think everyone would have wrote them off before the game, myself included. I didn't expect them to go down there and get 3 points. And not only that, get the type of performance and result that they got. So they have to use that. I saw them in the game before against Sheffield Wednesday when I thought they should have won and they were the better team. But when they got beat away at Charlton, I thought that was a big moment and it was going to prove too much for them. But they've given themselves a chance now with that huge 3 points and huge performance against Fulham, and the belief, hopefully, will still be there. But they have to keep it going now. They have to keep picking up results and it can't just be an isolated win.
And like we said, no win in six before that 3-0 win at Craven Cottage. They're still 6 points off safety, though. Like you've sort of just touched on there, you think they're still alive. It's not insurmountable, is it?
It's not insurmountable, but they have to keep getting 3 points. I mean, draws aren't even enough when you're at home. And they've certainly got the capabilities and the energy in the team to cause Middlesbrough problems, but that has to turn itself into 3 points, you know, because there's other teams now in and around them near the bottom who are picking up points as well. So it becomes even more vital that you keep a little run going and you keep momentum.
I know they didn't concede last week, but leaking goals has been an issue for this Barnsley defence. How detrimental can that be, though, in the battle to stay up?
Yeah, it can be really detrimental. Barnsley's got a style where they really commit bodies forward and try and press the game and force the issue, and it can be a real nuisance to play against with the energy and just being in your face all the time. But with that, it means the spaces at the back, and the centre-backs have sometimes struggled when they've been left 1v1 or having to cover the big spaces. So whenever teams do play against Barnsley, regardless how tough the game is, I'm sure they're going to the games believing that they're going to get some big chances at some moments in time. And if you do fall behind when you're a team at the bottom, it is difficult to come back. So it is risky, but hopefully Barnsley can keep getting the results and getting the goals that make them safe.
And they're coming up against a team you feel maybe, you know, very low in confidence in Middlesbrough at the minute. They lost out to Luton last week. How damaging will that result have been for them as a squad?
Yeah, damaging because of the nature of the result, the team they're against. They're on a bad run, you know. They started slowly, Middlesbrough, and then doing 4 in a row, something like that, and got right back up the league. And you think, there they go, they're going to be safe. Because I don't think expectations been there. I think even from the owner and internally from the fans, there's a realisation that this is going to be a change in season in terms of their approach, trying to get young players in the team. But they certainly didn't want to be down where they are. And they're on a run of form now where they could easily get roped into it. They're playing against teams such as Luton, who beat, and Barnsley, who are going to be fighting for their lives. And they need to roll the sleeves up and make sure they don't get dragged right into it, because there's always teams that do. There's always teams that come from nowhere to chase the playoffs, and there's always teams that get dragged right down into a dogfight from nowhere. And if it's them then that are on the poor run of form, they can get sucked right down and end up being a team getting relegated.
Is it a case that they just can't afford to lose this one, you know, conceding ground to another team down there with them?
Yeah, because it's a feel factor as well. So if you get beat in these games, of course, there's that immediate impact to the points. 3 points closer to a team just below you. But it's more crushing in terms of morale and the feel-good around the club, the fans. And then all of a sudden we're speaking about pressure and dealing with it at the top end of the table. You have to be able to deal with it at the bottom as well. And you know, they're a young group, the staff in there as well, and they're going to need lots of help, support from the club. But the easiest way to do it is get the win, and then you don't have to face those situations.
Like you touched on as well, no win in the last 7 games now. How hard is it as a manager in that situation, you know, as Jonathan will get find himself in that sort of form, especially at such a big club? You say about, you know, there not being as many expectations this season, but still massive pressure at a club the size of Middlesbrough.
Yeah, because like I say, in turn, they know maybe that it's a transition season for them, but they won't want to be where they are and certainly won't want to be dragged into any sort of dogfight. So, yeah, they don't want to be down there. Expectations are higher than where they are right now, without a doubt. And it's going to be a tough situation if they don't start picking up results soon, simply because of that lack of experience down there. You know, Jonathan will be leaning on his staff, but there's not a lot of experience in these situations in the staff as well. So it does help when you've been there and lived it and been through it, definitely, to keep calm. So, like I said, the best way to get out of it, the best way to put it to bed and ease those pressures, if you like, is get the wins.
Such pressure in this division. There's also, of course, another huge match at the bottom as Charlton take on Luton. Charlton only 5 points off the bottom themselves after that defeat to Blackburn last week. How calm do they have to be in the situation they find themselves in?
They do. Similar to Middlesbrough, they've lost some good players, and similar to Middlesbrough in the fact that they're now being dragged in because of the other teams below them with good form. Charlton set off really well at the start of the season, kept that momentum from League One. But now they are in a fight and they need to pick up points. They got the big 3 points against Barnsley a couple of weeks ago, and they'll be looking for the same now against Luton.
As you mentioned, lost some key players, the likes of Conor Gallagher, who's now on loan at Swansea instead as well. I know they brought in Aidan McGeady, but still a big loss for them, that, isn't it? How difficult is it as a manager to keep having to replace some of your best talent?
Oh, it's yeah, it can be crippling, you know. Around the centre, so similar to when we went up to the playoffs with Barnsley, and of the 20-man squad, by the end of that window, we'd lost 12 of them, and it's a brand new team then you've got in the Championship, and regardless how well you're doing then, It's always tough, and there can be a disillusionment then amongst the fans as well, where we're going with this, what's happening with this. But hopefully with the club now seemingly bought out and more stable, they'll be able to build rather than firefight. And this, again, that's why this season is so important for them, establishing themselves as a Championship club again.
Yeah, and like Middlesbrough, obviously another defeat would be disastrous against a team down there in the same fight as Luton are. Do they have to be a bit cautious, even though they're playing at home in this one?
Yeah, they'll not want to get beat, definitely, but they'll see it as an opportunity. And like I say, because the teams at the bottom, they're not in the form and not going to accumulate the same points as the team at the top. So if you can put distance between yourselves and them now, it can really ease that pressure. If that pressure's eased, it might be easier to pick up points further down the line. So it's tough to just sit back and think, so long as we don't get beat. I think you've still got to be positive and try and get the 3 points, because if you do, it can make everything else easier. If you sort of resign to the fact that we just need the point, otherwise we're going to be in a relegation battle, it's a different mindset and a difficult mindset to play out the season in. So they need to be strong, they need to go for the 3 points, and it's going to be tough, but I think that's got to be their approach.
And for Luton as well, how should they approach it now as well? Do they have to go into these games and just really go for the win, do you feel?
Yeah, they have to go for it. And the fact that they've won the last two big, big results, 2 clean sheets, they have to go for it. Keep the momentum, they'll be seeing this as what an opportunity. If you get three in a row, all of a sudden you are in a roll. Everyone's looking behind. And you're in a good place confidence-wise, the fans, there's a belief there, and you can take it into the last few games of the season. So that they'll no doubt be going for the win, even though it's away. You know, would they take a point now? Yeah, possibly for some sort of run going, but they'll be going all out for three.
Yeah, as you mentioned, two wins on the bounce, you know, has really brought them back to life. And as you say as well, two clean sheets must be something that, you know, would please Graham Jones in that situation. Obviously a side that are known for leaking goals.
Yeah, similar to Barnsley, really conceded too many goals, and even when the performance has been good, all of a sudden they've conceded one or two, and the game's been taken away from them. And that's been watching them from afar looked like being a step too far for them coming from League One to the Championship. But credit to them, credit to Graham, the staff, the players, they've got themselves right back in the hunt now. And as I say, they'll be wanting a win to keep the momentum, and then there'll be a real belief there that they can do it.
Yeah, and there's a chance for them to keep the momentum going to those next few games. Two out of the next three matches are at Stoke and Wigan as well. Could this be the period that defines their season, do you think?
I think it will be, because now it's a significant moment. They've won two in a row. You know, they've not been doing that. So they've won two in a row. If they can make it three, if they can get four wins out of five, whatever it may be, all of a sudden, that's a huge return. And it gives them a fighting chance. And as I say, it just changes the mood. Changes the expectation, changes the emotion of the fans in the home games, the away games, you know, the belief in the players. So they'll want to capitalise on this little spell. And if they can, then all of a sudden they'll be going from odds on to go down to maybe, you know, outside chance of staying up, which is what they want to do. So I think it will define them. You know, Charlton, Stoke, Wigan in the next four big games, and not only do they want to pick up points, they don't want to give points to teams who will run away from them then.
Yeah, the big matches certainly keep on coming in this division, don't they? Paul, thanks very much for your time this week.
No problem.
And have a great weekend.
Thanks, mate.
Now it's time to move on to Leagues 1 and 2 with Joe Thompson, but first, let's switch the focus back to a dramatic couple of nights in the Leasing.com Trophy.
Naylor heads it to the touchline, Harness helps it on, and McCrory will drive down that touchline. McCrory, 40 yards from goal on the right, he's got Harness outside him, there's space in the middle, McGeehan outside the box, McGeehan thinks about the shot, left-footed, into the net! A magnificent goal! Cameron McGeehan with his left foot! What a cool finish! Cameron McGeehan! What a final quarter hour! Fulton may still be going to Wembley. Exeter are denied for a good McCrory challenge, and Pompey still want to go at the other end once more. Naylor keeps driving. Naylor's got Harness forward. Naylor chips it towards Curtis. Curtis brings it down in the penalty area. Curtis across the face, a goal! Marquess! Marquess! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock! Porter, the heading back to Wembley. They've done it in the most dramatic circumstances. John Marquess has done it. Pompey are heading to Wembley. It's Porter 3, Exeter 2.
Gives the goalkeeper the eyes. He waves his arms. Oh no! Dreadful. You hate a game to be decided like that. Innes clips the crossbar. And Salford take off on their journey yet again to Wembley Stadium.
So just a quick word on Portsmouth and Salford first, Joe. How exciting is it as a player getting that chance to play at Wembley?
Yeah, it's everybody's dream, isn't it? You know, and I was fortunate to do that. And from my experiences with Wembley, it was a bit mixed emotions. Both times I went, I got beat. But, you know, it's that occasion and it's what you do live for the moment, so it should be a fantastic game.
Yeah, and let's look at Portsmouth's match at the weekend, actually, in Skybet League One against Fleetwood. How much of a high will that squad be on after that dramatic win against Exeter going into this one?
Yeah, they will be. And sometimes it's a case of coming down off it emotionally, you know, a late John Marquess goal, so late on in the game, you will be riding off that high, and they've got to get back to basics in the league, and they're coming up against Fleetwood, who are banging form.
Like you say, banging form. Four wins on the bounce of them. Do you see them as another dark horse for promotion?
Yeah, well, I think, like you say, four wins on the spin, seven unbeaten, and they're potent up front with Paddy Madden and Chel Evans. But I think it's credit to their defence recently. You know, I know Alex Cairns has saved a couple of penalties in that run. And I was listening to Joe Barton in the week talking about the squad and how he couldn't identify anyone particular, but he was praising Callum Connolly for his performances. So they've got the momentum at the moment, and you can see they've got that belief and that unity as a squad.
And obviously both of these sides in and around those playoff spots, like we've mentioned, how important is it as well that neither of them lose this one, because you know it would affect that momentum?
Yeah, it's kind of risk and reward, isn't it? If you go full tilt and try and get the points as soon as possible, you always leave yourself exposed. But both sets of managers have, I'd say, proven themselves. I know Joey's new to it, and Kenny Jackett's been around the block and done it all. So they have a game plan. And I think for Fleetwood, beating, you know, Peterborough last time out will be a massive boost for them.
Skybet League 2.
Moving on to our featured match in League 2 now. Swindon back in action after a week off due to Storm Dennis. What sort of effect will that have had on them as a squad going into this one? Will it help be helpful for them having that week off, or a hindrance?
It depends. I think it comes down to individuals. They will have put a plan in place with Richie Wellings and the coaching staff. But I would see it, if I was a player, as quite a nice opportunity to maybe have a couple of days off after it's been such a frantic period of game after game. So, you know, the joint top with Exeter. They're unbeaten at home since, I think, it's September. So they'll be going into the game extremely confident.
Yeah, like you say, probably a welcome break maybe for them. But pressure obviously back on them as well, though, as others have had the chance to put points on the board. How difficult is it when you've got, you know, those other teams breathing down your necks in a promotion race like this?
I've never heard anybody complain when they're in a promotion race. But and like you say, pressure does affect people in different ways. But, you know, they've got Owen Doyle, who's scored a bag full of them. And I know they've recently signed Hallam Hope. And they've got that balance of youth and experience, particularly in midfield with Doherty and Rose. So it's like they've got people in there that know what it's like to be, you know, pushing for promotion. And I'm sure Richie will be hoping his strike force get as many goals to get them as far away from the chasing pack.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Owen Doyle, top scorer in the EFL, so obviously a threat for them. But for Grimsby, a couple of wins on the bounce for them, including an impressive win over Colchester a few weeks back. Ian Holloway has produced miracles before. Is there any way that they could make the playoffs?
I think, you never know, it's football, but I think it's a little bit too much to ask. I know they're in 15th at the moment.
Got those games in hand.
They have got those games in hand, and I think they're going to be the important ones. You know, picking up 3 points here and there are going to be massive. And I'm sure he's setting targets. I remember we did a piece on him probably about a month ago, and he was saying how he was struggling with injuries. He's starting to get those back, and he's really galvanised the club and the squad. So like you say, an impressive win against Colchester. So they'll be going into it underdogs, but, you know, quietly confident as well.
I'm sure Ian Holloway's got them feeling all confident, and that should be another belter. Joe, thanks very much for your time this week, and have a great weekend.
You too, Ben. My pleasure, mate.
So thanks again to all my guests on today's show. Remember to like and subscribe and leave a review if you can, and help other people find the show. See you next week for a Carabao Cup final preview show special.